That's great. Okay, very good. Here's the band, by the way. Oh, well, okay. Well, they're around here somewhere. All right, very good, very good. I found the gospel today to be fascinating, didn't you? But I'm not going to share anything about that with you. You can meditate on that yourself. Yeah, yeah. There's enough. Then, well, no, okay, let's just move on to what I want to talk about. I want to start today sharing with you a bit about unity. And as I mentioned before we began, next week, Carol and I are away on vacation, and Christy Foldenauer will be here. And then when I get back, I'll pick up some more on unity. But today, there's something about prayer and unity, and specifically the prayers of the people. And when we come together like this on a Sunday morning and we have our time of prayer, there is something about the unity that God has made and is continuing to form that is very, very powerful. And it's the intention of God to do something through that time of prayer that is powerful, unique, merciful, and very, very good. So I want to unpack that with us a little bit today. And the first thing I want to do this morning is just go over a couple of definitions. Usually I have some kind of mesmerizing story, but not this morning, maybe later in September. What I want to talk about is prayer, and so some definitions would be very helpful to us. First of all, there's this word in the Episcopal Church called a collect. Now, we don't use it too much here because we use a printed bulletin where we put the whole thing in there. But if we used the prayer book, if we had prayer books out here, you would see in the prayer book the word collect quite often. And I'm going to just point a couple out here. I just happen to have a prayer book right here. And once, you know, some time ago when we were in Pennsylvania, one of our members came up to me and said, "What's a collect?" And because, you know, that's what they thought the word was. It's spelled the same way. It looks the same. And collect is just the noun form of the verb collect. It's a collect. Now, we tend today to call it a collection. But there were days when it was called a collect, and in the church we still hold on to that. A collect is just what it sounds like. It is a collection of the prayers of everyone gathered together. So today, one of the things that's going to happen in the prayers of the people is that we will all have some prayers, and at the end, there will be a prayer, and that prayer is the collect, or the collection of all of our prayers. Now, we've already done that a little bit today. In the bulletin, you may recall, but I'll point it out to you, on the first page, Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Did I say that today? Good. No, I might have left it out, but nonetheless, there it is. So, and we usually play it, you know, pray it every day. And that, what that is called is the collect for purity. And that is, what that does is it collects everyone's desire to be right before God. And that God puts that into our hearts. Now, whether we act on it or not is another question altogether. But deep in our hearts is the desire to be right with God, to come into the family of Jesus, to come home. All of that is from God. And that collects the various ways that we pray about that. So that's what a collect is. The prayers of the people are a longer form, you might say, of that, where the prayers of all the people are gathered. So while the prayer leader is leading the prayers of the people, everyone, you and me, would be offering our prayers to God. So if one of the first petitions of the prayers of the people is to pray for the church and the world, we would be praying for the church and the world right where we are. And those words in the form that we see in the bulletin collects those prayers. You can begin to see that's the way our unity is formed. That's one of the things God uses to form our unity and to build it and to enrich it. Now, one of the things that happens is this, and which I understand completely, and I often feel this way myself, is that if you feel strongly about something or burdened about something, and you want people to share in prayer, what you want is for it to be mentioned in the prayers of the people. I mean, a lot of people want that. It's just natural. And so you might say, can we add such and such to the prayers of the people? And of course, we have provision for that to happen. Every month we collect the names of those that we want to make sure are mentioned in the prayers of the people. But I want to encourage you this way. I mean, you don't have to stop doing that, but I want to encourage you this way. If what you wanted prayed for was not mentioned up the front during the prayers of the people, and you prayed for it, it was still prayed for. And in fact, the church prayed for it. It's not the second tier of prayer. It's not, well, if God's not hearing too much at that moment, he might hear this one. No, that's not it at all. Just because it's not prayed for from the front doesn't mean God didn't hear it and it won't be answered. It's as important and significant to God as any other prayer. And to pray it here together with us, whether silently or out loud, very, very significant, very important. That's the prompting of the Spirit of God upon you to pray that at that moment. And that's what counts. The presence of God, which is everywhere, is magnified when we're together praising Him and worshiping Him. And so when anything you bring before God, when we're gathered together, is in God's magnified presence. Very powerful, very powerful. And that brings me to what is really the main idea about corporate prayer, about prayers of the people and praying together and what we do here. It is this: the purpose of the prayers of the people is to ask God to light the fire of His Spirit once again. To do it again. To pour out your Spirit once again. What you did on the day of Pentecost, do it again. Every time we get together and pray, every time we bring the prayers of the people before the Lord, that is its purpose. It is to ask God to pour out the Spirit and power and grace, love and mercy once again on us and through us. And when we gather here, well, we already are gathered here, in a few minutes when we pray the prayers of the people, that's the purpose of praying them. That the Spirit of God would be poured out upon every concern in our heart, everything we want to see set right, every relationship we want to see healed, every person we want to see delivered from sickness, every situation to be made whole. We want the Spirit of God poured out upon those situations and upon us. So that we would be a healing, reconciling community of the kingdom of God. A healing, reconciling community of the kingdom of God. Keep that in mind. I'm going to return to that in a minute. There's an example from last Sunday. You know, one of the things that happens every week is there's the collect of the day, and the theme of the day, and we start praying that, and it prompts you to pray certain ways, and we collect it all in a prayer. And last week, the collect of the day was this: grant, O merciful God, that your church, being gathered together in unity by your Holy Spirit, may show forth your power among all peoples to the glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Your church, being gathered together in unity, will show forth your power to absolutely everybody. And when we gather here, what God has done is He has called us together in unity. And the unity, the core of the unity, is to ask God to do it again. Light that fire once again. That's the core of our unity. That's the prayer we gather around. All the prayers that we have flow from that. And the collect gathers those together. So, one of the implications is this: God is asking us to ask that the Spirit be poured out once again. It's as if God is tapping us on the shoulder and say, hey, ask me again. Ask me to pour it out again. In fact, get together with everybody and ask me to pour it out again. Yes, I know things are tough. Yes, I know things are down. Yes, I know it's not going as well as you'd hope. But hey, ask me to pour it out again. Because that's what I want to do. Okay, now how does this work? Well, now it's time for me to present a caveat. I have no idea how this works. I just don't know. God does it. This is just what I'm sharing with you this morning is what I have observed in the Bible and in ministry. That God draws us together and asks us to ask for the outpouring of the Spirit one more time. Every time he draws us together. And the reading from Acts that we had today that Susan read just a few minutes ago, in that reading, and you might want to look at it in the bulletin, is an early example of a collect. So here we are in Acts chapter 4. Now, I don't know if anybody gathered there at that moment would have said, oh, that was the collect. But it's an example of how this works. So the persecution is going on, one of the earliest persecutions of the church, and things are pretty tough. And everybody's in the upper room. It's probably the same room that they were gathered on the day of Pentecost. And very likely that's where they were. When they heard that their friends were released, that's released from prison. And you know, not all of them made it out, as you may recall. But those that did, when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, and this is the prayer that was prayed. And notice it says, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, and through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word in all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Now, do you see how long that prayer is? It's the bulk of the section in this reading. And it's easy to picture when it says, they lifted their voices together and said, that they all took out their bulletin and read together this prayer. However, after a moment's reflection, we know there were no bulletins at that time. No overhead projectors. No prayer books. It was just them. There they were with themselves, nothing to look at. And I mean, I suppose God could have done it, but I'm thinking that not everybody gathered in the room said all those words, just as we see them right here, all together at the same time. I'm thinking they all wanted to pray these things. All these things were on their mind. The way that Jewish people were raised at that time, all these scriptures would have been very much on their mind in that situation. And one of the leaders got up and started saying these words, to which everyone was in agreement. Now, how they were in agreement, I don't know. A lot of that's culture. They might have been saying amen or whatever, or clapping or whatever, or just being there silent, agreeing. But they were one. Now notice what they were one about. It was the character of God, which is all the scripture references, and they were in trouble, and they needed God to act. There was something going on in which they needed God to act. That's the prayers of the people. together we say to God, this is going on and we need you to act. That's another way of saying, pour it out again. Do it again. That's what we need. Noting the concern and asking for God's power is how we pray together. Now, God's answer is very interesting. It said the room they were in was shaken. I believe that to be the sign that God had poured out the Spirit once again. They were in the same upper room as the first day of Pentecost when the Spirit was poured out and all kinds of things happened. Here they are again. And they asked God to act, and God poured out the Spirit in another measure, and the room was shaken. Now, I personally don't think that that has to be replicated, that when we're done the prayers of the people, that this room will shake. I mean, if it does, that's okay. It's fine. Fine. God did it. Okay, great. That's all right. But I think that what will happen every time we come to God and say, this is what's going on, and we need you to act, we need you to pour out your Spirit, that God will pour out the Holy Spirit, and something will happen, and it'll probably be different from the time before. Let me remind you once again of what Terry Fulham used to say. We serve a God who can't even make two snowflakes alike. So the experience of the Spirit of God is not going to be absolutely identical each time that it happens. The situations that we're bringing before God are not identical each time they happen. I mean, they're close enough that we recognize them. But today, when we ask God to pour out the Spirit once again, something will happen among us in our lives, in our fellowship, in what goes on, whatever it is, that will be the Spirit of God having poured it out. Now, from there, they continue with the Word of God with boldness. Now, that'll happen with us too. How that happens, I don't know. Maybe we would just, with great confidence, help the poor in our community. Or with great confidence, we encourage somebody who lives close to us. Or with great confidence, we say, you know, I think you would gain something and be helpful to you to worship with us every so often. Why don't you come along? That comes from the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God gives us the ability to do that. It's not that we have to think it all up on our own and figure out how we're going to do this and get this person to agree or whatever. It's the Spirit of God gives us the confidence in the situation, which comes from saying yes to the prompting of the Spirit of God to come together and say, this is what's going on, and we need you to pour out your Spirit. It's another way of saying, this is what God wants us to do, and I have no idea what will happen, but I'm ready for it. I want it to happen. I don't know what it is. I don't need to know what it is before it happens. But let's let it happen. That's our unity. When we come together looking for God to pour out the Spirit. See, our unity is not getting everyone to agree with us. This is going on today, and I think this is what needs to happen, and I want all of you to agree. That I would not say is unity. Maybe uniformity, but not unity. It's not that we get people to like the same thing we like or prefer the same thing we prefer at all. It's that the one who thinks this way comes together with the one who thinks that way, and they come together with the one who looks this way, and they come together with the one who believes this way, and it's different from the way everyone else believes and everyone else thinks and all of that. I mean, you know the old joke we used to say about Episcopalians, it applies to a lot of groups, whenever you have three Episcopalians together, you have five opinions. That's the chaos over which the Spirit of God hovers and is poured out. And that's the power flow. It's people like that who are divergent and disagreeing and disagreeable coming together to say, God, this is what's going on. Pour out your Spirit. That's the unity of the church. And in that way, what we become is a healing, reconciling community of the kingdom of God, which is what God is asking us to be. No matter what's going on with you this week, how high you've been, how low you've been, when you and I come together and come together with others and pour that out before God, God pours out his Spirit. That's how we go on in the Christian life. Would you please stand? Lord Jesus, we thank you that your Spirit will be poured out when we come before you. We ask that you would increase within us the unity of your Spirit so that we would see your Spirit poured out in your church and throughout the world. And we ask that today for the glory of your name. Amen.